US President Barack Obama is supporting a move to ban so-called gay reparative therapies for teenagers. In a statement posted on the White House website, presidential adviser Valerie Jarrett referred to the highly publicized suicide of 17-year-old transgender youth Leela Alcorn.
Joshua Alcorn was born a boy but wrote in her suicide note that she was a female and wanted to be referred to as Leela.
An Ohio teenager who identified as female in December killed herself after her parents took her to this so-called conversion therapy that tries to change the gender identity often used on young people.
She wrote, "The only way I will rest in peace is if one day transgender people aren't treated the way I was. They're treated like humans, with valid feelings and human rights. My death needs to mean something." Wednesday, Leela's mother, Carla, told CNN, "We don't support that religiously," referring to Leela's transgender identity. "But we told him that we loved him unconditionally. He was a good kid, a good boy."
Well, the Reverend Wes Mullins leads one of America's biggest same-sex congregations, the Metropolitan Community Church of Greater St. Louis. As a 16-year-old, he began 5 years of so-called reparative therapy. I spoke earlier with Wes Mullins.
I didn't really even understand what a gay sexual orientation was. I started having feelings around the time of puberty, 13 and 14 years old. By the time I was 16, those feelings had become unmanageable for me as a young evangelical kid. You know, I was going on church events, being expected to shower with other boys and sleep in the same beds in a hotel room with other boys. And I just wasn't really capable of dealing with all of the emotions and feelings I was having. And I went into my parents' bedroom one night. They had already gone to sleep. I woke them up and tearfully confessed to them what I was struggling with. And I said, "I need help." And so that sort of began the process that eventually led me into reparative therapy sessions.
And Wes, your family were from a fairly traditional Southern evangelical milieu. If it was your decision as a teenager, however, was it informed by, if you like, a general sort of peer pressure, even if it were unspoken?
Absolutely. I didn't even really understand all the options. I thought that the only response was to seek reparative therapy. The idea of being able to be taught how to live as a faithful gay Christian was outside of the realm of possibility for me. I'd had no model for that, no idea that that was possible. I didn't even know to ask for that or advocate for myself to be shown what that looked like.
And what did the therapy involve?
For me, their practice was threefold. One was addressing the sexual orientation itself and trying to educate you about that and the best science that they could present from their perspective. One was behavioral modification. So let's say that you're looking at gay pornography. We're going to try to back up in time in the way that leads you to do that and try to change your behavior so that you can stop doing that through some very controlled behavioral modification strategies. And then the last stage was attraction. And they would often try to address attraction as simply a desire for something that you see in other men that you wish you were yourself.
Did it involve the things that we read about, the electric shock therapy?
No, I did not go to any of the places that use that kind of extreme treatment. You know, I think that some people were more willing to give in to whatever anybody told them to do. You know, I'm a relatively intelligent person who said, "I'm going to test this myself, and I'm not going to just take whatever you say and believe it. It has to ring true to me."
Yes, I'm wondering if the absence of those very radical physical treatments was the reason that you stuck with this for 5 years. I mean, you were 21 before you realized the folly of this therapy, as it were.
Right. And in my own story, that last year that I spent from 20 to 21, I did the most intense model of therapy that the group that I worked with did. And it was nothing physical like that, just very intense, many hours each week in therapy and group sessions and individual sessions. And it was that most intense year that convinced me that this is not working.
Now, of course, what has prompted President Obama to speak out strongly against this so-called conversion therapy has been the suicides of young teenagers, gay, lesbian, transsexual, transgender teenagers. What consequence did the conversion therapy have on your life at the time?
The honest answer is that there was bad and good consequences. Because I did avoid some of those very radical therapies, some of it was about helping me learn more about myself, because it was in the end therapy. I was probably the most self-aware 21-year-old walking around in Nashville, Tennessee at the time. Right. But there was also, of course, that ugly side that was a therapy that was designed to change my orientation. And the reason that I stopped was that at 21, after that intense therapy, I felt as though my psyche was tearing into. I literally was going to bed at night praying to God that I would wake up sane. I was trying so hard to force myself to be one thing, and yet the reality of who I was becoming ever more clear, and those two things were about to just rip in two.
I mean, interestingly, Wes, the so-called therapy did not change your sexual orientation, but it also did not change your faith. I mean, this will surprise many people.
Well, and it didn't in the long term. In the short term, it did. As I came out of that ex-gay reparative therapy at 21, I also left the church at that time, because I felt like the only prayer I had prayed for 5 years was that God would take that temptation away from me. After all that effort and all that work and tens of thousands of dollars that I spent, even as a college student who didn't have that kind of money to be spending, I had nothing to show for it. That to me was confirmation that God did not exist. It took a number of years to really sort out what was really happening there and to regain my faith.
What was the Christian teaching that undergirded conversion therapy? And by contrast, what was the Christian teaching for you that was affirmed by your decision to leave?
You know, the Christian teaching undergirding reparative therapy is very weak Christian teaching. Jesus himself says nothing about gay people, homosexuality, nothing. It all boils down to one brief passage in Romans chapter 1, and essentially what Paul is trying to argue in the larger scope of that passage is that everyone is sinful, and that we should not judge anyone. In fact, chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, do not judge anyone. And so the argument from Scripture is fairly weak for reparative therapy. But in an evangelical, conservative, religious culture in the South, in the United States, it's just almost more cultural in the way that the religion is portrayed culturally that homosexuality is wrong. People will quote a passage from Leviticus or some other Sodom and Gomorrah and think that that has anything to do with this, when the best scholarship says that it doesn't. As a 16-year-old, you don't know that.
You are now legally and happily married to Kevin. I'm sure there's an emotional match. Is there a religious match with Kevin as well, though?
Well, you know, Kevin is an agnostic, and so we do look at the world differently. He does attend my church here in St. Louis and sings in the choir and does other things, but people know, the whole congregation's aware that he's an agnostic, and they're very comfortable with that. But we do have some good religious conversations at times because we do see the world a bit differently. You know, when he came out, he just came out of the closet raving a rainbow flag and, you know, wearing his little skimpy gay boy shorts and ready to have all the fun in the world, and he thinks it's kind of strange that I struggled with this for so long. We come from different backgrounds in that way.
Wes, just as we wind up, the White House has condemned conversion therapy very strongly. I'm wondering, on the ground, though, how meaningful and consequential are those words against so-called conversion therapies?
There's two pieces to that. On the one hand, it is so monumental that we talk about him in America, at least the leader of the free world, the president of the United States, declaring that this is dangerous, should not be done. That is huge. And on the other hand, I don't want to minimize the work of so many people who have been trying to expose this for decades. It was only because of those small victories that they have been working on for so long that we have come to the place where the president can say it.
Just finally, Wes, as a Christian leader and as a gay man who's legally married, you've been through conversion therapy. I mean, what would you say to young people, especially teenagers, the sort of people that President Obama was speaking to, who are struggling with their identity and their sexuality in environments that can sometimes be inhospitable?
Yeah, the first thing I'm going to say to any teen or young person is God loves you. You need to say that over and over to yourself until you really hear it and feel it in your gut and in your bones. You have to say it 100 times for every one time that somebody says God doesn't. No matter how your path in your life plays out, whether that you end up being straight or you end up being gay or somewhere in between, God loves you wherever you are. I read just the other day, gay Christian is not an oxymoron, but hateful Christian is.
The Reverend Wes Mullins, pastor at the Metropolitan Community Church of Greater St. Louis. Thank you very much for joining us on the Religion and Ethics Report.
It's a pleasure.
And this is Andrew West.